If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast in the world. This is Mind Pump. Today's episode, we have the CEO of Brain.fm on, Dan Clark. So he gets on the show and explains how this stuff works. It is literally like magic. So these are sounds that you listen to that induce states of mind. And they've done studies on this. They've proven it with fMRIs. It works. I mean, the guys and I use them on a regular basis, and it will make you feel focused, or it will make you want to relax, fall asleep. It's pretty remarkable stuff. He gets on, he explains it. And then if you go through our link, brain.fm/mindpump, you get 30 days for free. So you literally try it out, see for yourself. Pretty wild stuff. Now, this episode is brought to you by a sponsor, Legion. They make high-performance supplements, so pre-workout powders, protein powders, supplements that can help recovery, supplements that can help with sleep. Lunar, very effective sleep supplement. Go check them out. Get yourself a discount. Go to buylegion.com. That's buylegion.com/mindpump. Use the code mindpump. Get 20% off your first order and double rewards points if you are an existing customer for using that link. Also, this month's sale, Maps Anywhere and Maps Hit, both 50% off. If you're interested, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com and then use the code April50 for the discount. All right, here comes the show. Dan, welcome back.
Thanks.
It's been a while.
2018.
It's been a long time.
Over 5 years since we've had you on the show. So you're running Brain.fm. I have to be honest. Mm-hmm. When we first started working with you guys, it has to be... No, it is. It was the weirdest product by far that I'd ever used. Yeah. I was more skeptical. And there's been some products I've been skeptical of and that have, like, you know, kind of blown my mind and I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
But your guys' company, your product, I was so skeptical. I'm like, whatever. Okay, let's see how this works. And it's really weird.
Yeah.
It's actually strange how effective it is. In fact, we've talked about you guys probably more than almost any other sponsor without being paid. In fact, it was just us bringing you guys up because of its impact. I want to know what's happened since over the last 5 years, because a lot's changed and you guys have grown quite a bit.
Yeah, totally.
So let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, well, first, I just want to say thank you guys because when I was here last, the company really just started. And since then, we've actually grown significantly, which we'll dive into. We've had more than 4 million people use Brain.fm since I've been on the show.
Wow.
And it really all started here. And you guys really saw the potential for it. You saw the wacky idea. And it's so cool to be back here and, you know, talk to you guys about all the updates.
Speaking of 4 million people using it, what is the stick rate on something like this? I imagine, you know, like us, people probably are skeptical. They experience it and then they probably get hooked. Is it higher than a typical app, or like, how do you compare it to other apps that people would download and pay for? Like, is it something that majority of people stick around, or they only stick around for a little bit? What does that look like?
Yeah, great question. So our biggest challenge is getting people to try it, because it does, like, even when I tried it the first time, I thought it was BS, right? And when people do try it, and during the trial, we give, you know, someone a few days to do it without charging them, right? And the more they use it, the more their conversion rate goes up.
Of course.
Right? So this is about 3 times sticky as a comparable product in the app space.
Wow.
So if someone listens to an hour of trying Brain.fm, then their conversion rate doubles.
Wow.
Right? And it just shows that if someone actually tries it and experiences it, you know, how it's intended to, you can feel the effects on your first time.
Now, because of that, have you guys, you know, modeled it different or marketed it different, because you're learning that, man, if we could just get these people to listen to an hour, the conversion rate's so high. So have you guys, since we've seen you last, have strategies changed on how to encourage people to do that?
1,000%. Okay. Yeah, it's really been about, one is making sure that when someone comes in, we're explaining to them what, you know, the music does, but more importantly, is matching them to the music that's going to be effective for them, right? And there's so much stuff we can get into versus, you know, how someone has extroverted or introverted, right? If someone has ADHD, all these kinds of different things. So we're really trying to nail the first experience, because just to get them to that point can be challenging. You know, you're like, oh, this is just music. How is this going to be much different?
Yeah.
And it's really hard to tell or show someone the science, because we're trying to disguise the science in, right? And when you actually get to that point and you say, oh, wow, okay, I'm going to try this for 30 minutes. I'm going to have work in front of me. And all of a sudden you hit, you, it like clicks. And that's what we're trying to give, that aha moment in the first session.
Yeah, I have two experiences with Brand FM that were profound. And then I was like, sold. The first one, when we first started working with you guys, I put on Focus. And at the time, I was doing a lot of our writing. So we have like marketing material that goes out, blogs and what we call white papers, okay, 3,000 word, whatever documents. And I put it on and I played it. And I remember it was about 5 or 7 minutes in. I got really in the zone.
Yeah.
And I remember questioning it, like, was that really that? Yep. Or was it just that I got in the zone? And then I tried it again and it happened again. It took about 5 minutes. Each time it was like, oh my God, this is really weird. Then the second big experience was one of the most terrifying flights I've ever been on in my entire life. Mm-hmm. We were flying from, you guys remember
Spokane,
that one?
Spokane, yeah.
From Spokane to, I don't remember where, and we were on this propeller plane.
Yeah, a little puddle jumper.
And it was, I get anxious on planes anyway, but this flight was, like, if you didn't have a seatbelt on, you'd hit the ceiling of the
roof.
Yeah, like,
that's scary.
Oh, yeah. People were crying, and people were praying out loud, and, you know, it was really scary.
Yeah.
And I had my headphones on, and I was playing Meditate.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there with my hands like this, listening to Meditate, and I was scared, but I didn't lose my mind. And if I didn't have that for sure, that would have been a total panic attack. So that was, those are my, like, some of my first, like, experiences where I was like, okay, this is pretty insane. Now, you started as a user, and that's what got you to work with the company. So what happened there? Did you have a similar experience?
Yeah. So the first time I tried Brain FM, I remember taking my headphones out at the end and saying, holy shit. Like, what is this, right? And to give you context, my background, right, I always struggled focusing. I always struggled, you know, getting work done in time. And what happened was I was always looking for that edge. I was looking for that, you know, flow state, right, which we call it now, right, the zone. And for me, it's this magic zone when it's like 2 a.m, you've had 2 cups of coffee, and you have a project due tomorrow, and you just, like, it's just effortless. You can feel like you can work forever, right? And I remember coming into Brain FM, having similar feelings like, this probably isn't going to work, but I'll try this in the stack of all the other things, right? And I remember taking my headphones out and being like, whoa, I thought I worked for 2 hours, and it was only 30 minutes. And I got so excited. I was like, all right, this, like, actually, almost like you, I was like, this might be this may not work, right? Let's try to break this. Yeah. And I remember staying up for like 24 hours. I remember changing my diet. I remember trying to, like, see if I could make
disrupt it.
Yeah, exactly. Not effective anymore. And it worked every single time. And from then I was like, I just need to be part of this rocket ship.
Yeah. So let's take a step back for a second because it to someone who's not familiar, this does sound like, if I'm listening right now, I'm like, what are you guys
talking
about?
It's magic.
Okay, but here's now, if we go with the logical side, we know that music has, or sounds have, profound effects on the human brain. We know that music can improve a child's ability to learn. We know that we memorize things far more effectively through music. If you were to say the ABCs right now, you'd sing it because that's how we learned it, and that's how we end up remembering things. Music lights up the entire brain. It improves our ability to do math and to comprehend things and to think abstractly. So it's not out of the realm of, you know, what we already understand, in the sense that, like, sounds can definitely have a profound impact on how the brain operates. You guys took that to the next level.
Right.
Like, what are we dealing with? Are we literally trying to induce states of mind that we've identified as, this is what delta waves look like when somebody's focused. This is what it looks like when somebody's asleep. Is that what you guys are working with?
Because we found this in classical music forever. You've heard that. And this is why we've played it for, like, young kids. And it's done something significant in terms of them remembering things and being able to study more effectively. Mm-hmm. But somehow, like, you guys were able to figure out the science behind that and really, like, hone in and get to a level that we hadn't seen before. And how did they get to that point, like, where they could really fine tune it to where your brain responded even more aggressively?
Yeah. So there's a lot to unpack here, right? First is, why does music exist? Right. And obviously music, like, you know, Rihanna or whatever, is entertainment. But music in the beginning was actually functional only.
Teaching.
So it was for lullabies, right? It was for war drums. It was to accomplish something, right? And then as, you know, free, as music got more accessible, it started going into an entertainment focus, right? And then now merging this with the studies of the brain, we're able to recognize, like you said, brainwaves, right? Beta, alpha, theta, right? And understanding that when you're in beta, you're having, that's what a focused mind looks like, right? So what we started doing is seeing all of the science that exists in the world, right? And different attempts of trying to elicit that. You may have heard of like binaural beats or isochronic tones, right? Which we can get into later. But it's really, BrainFM is the encapsulation of taking all of this stuff with functional music and all of this neuroscience, this bleeding edge neuroscience we have today, and combining them together to elicit this really strong response. And what's happening is we're able to apply not only things that sound like you're focusing, right? Like basic stuff, like no lyrics in music, having no salience, which is the difference of noise, like loud bangs and stuff, right? That are distracting. But we actually go a second level or a third level where we're actually adding modulations to the music, right? And modulations are these patterns that when your brain is decoding music from, you know, sound to electrical impulses, what's happening is your brain is reorganizing to those patterns, delta, theta, all of those, right? And what's happening is blood flow in your brain is responding, right? So for work, for example, what you need to have to be more effective at work is have more blood flow in your prefrontal cortex, right? It's pretty well known.
Okay.
And what we're doing is we're putting patterns inside of the music that then turn into patterns in your brain that redistribute blood flow in your brain.
Wait, so you're okay. So this science is based off of brain waves and blood flow?
Wow. Correct. Yeah. So brain waves and blood flow are the same, right? Okay. So if you have a certain brainwave pattern, you have blood flow as a result, okay, right? So a lot of the times in, you know, like pharmaceutical medicine, they're doing things that change blood flow. So it changes the electrical.
Got it.
And we're changing electrical, so it changes blood flow.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how is this looked at? Is it fMRI technology? Is it just?
Yeah. So it's fMRI EEG, right? We actually have this really cool paper in pre-publication in a leading academic journal right now. And it shows what happens when people are listening to BrainFM versus Spotify versus white noise, pink noise versus, you know, all of these different kinds of things. And you can see the brain in real time start redistributing and realigning to this this effect.
So what are some of the similarities that it has with some of our favorite music? Like what's the same and what's different? Like is there, obviously there's things that you guys have added to it because you've enhanced it or whatever, but what are some of the things, are there direct correlations? Like is there a reason why there's certain music that I listen to? Is it also because it's also subconsciously getting me more focused or?
Yeah, it really depends. So first it depends on the function. Like what are you doing? Are you working? Are you working out? Right? You probably already listen to different music depending on what you're doing.
Right.
Totally. Right? We're aware of that. So some of the starting points are like no lyrics, right? Because what's happening is it's kind of, it's energy management. So let's say we're working out, right? What we want is we want to distract ourselves from the pain we're putting on our body, right? We want to create like high salient songs. So a lot of people, when they work out, they listen to like rock and roll or heavy metal or EDM, right? Because there's a lot of structure to that music that's taking, that we're not in our mind, we're kind of like out of it, right? Mm. But when you're working, you kind of want the opposite. You want to have things that are less distracting. So no lyrics, right? You want like a steady beat. A lot of music today is 3-minute tracks because they're not made for extended sessions of 90 minutes. They're made for really still entertainment purposes. So, you know, on one level, we're doing all the more obvious things where all of our songs are 30 minutes plus, right? Where no lyrics in the songs, they like fold into each other. So they sound similar, but they have, you know, these qualities that bring you into focus.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. Like heart rate, for instance, like an excitement level and all that. So you kind of factor that in terms of like which one works best for, like you said, working out versus like trying to be calm and focused and study.
Yeah. So like, you can kind of think of sound to have all these different characteristics, right? One of them could be, you know, BPM, which everyone knows is how fast the song is moving, right? But then you also have other things of like texture, right? Yeah. And I'm not a musician, right? But it's more of like the complexity of how much music is going on. Mm. So how many instruments layers, are playing at the same time? Yeah, exactly. Layers, yeah.
I was going to ask about that because like you've heard, and we brought up classical music, and but too, you guys have like a section four focus, which has that classical music on top, but there's underlying layers. I'm wondering.
Those are the modulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's happening, the modulations, you know, maybe it makes sense to take a step back and actually talk about like the first time this was attempted, right? And those are binaural beats or isochronic tones. So in, I think the 70s, right, they started becoming very popular where you could listen to this music and zone in. It was basically what we promised with Brain FM today. Mm. The challenge or the way it works, right, is you play one frequency in one ear and one frequency in the other, opposing frequencies. And what happens is when you're listening to them in your brainstem, they combine and they make an amplitude, the difference of those frequencies, right? So if you have 150 in one ear and 140 in the other, you'll get a 10 hertz amplitude in your brainstem.
Interesting.
And then what happens is that through a process of entrainment goes from your brainstem throughout your brain, right? And hopefully that helps you get into focus or relax or sleep or whatever. The challenge though is your brainstem is like one of the reptilian parts of our brain, right? And it doesn't have like the highest resolution, basically, right? So what happens is that could take 30 minutes to work sometimes, or maybe even weeks to start using this to get into that. And then when it's studied, it has sparse results, right, in double-blind studies. So placebo plays an effect, et cetera, right? And what we're doing is we're taking the same idea where we're adding like delta waves or beta waves or something like that. But instead of doing it through binaural beats, through those different tones, we're actually pre-processing it. We're doing like a monaural beat, and then we're hiding that beat in a bass frequency, right? Mm-hmm. So what's happening is it doesn't go to your brainstem throughout the whole brain. It goes right into your prefrontal cortex when you start listening to it in 10 seconds, and it starts ramping immediately.
It's like a more bioavailable than binaural beats.
And that's a great metaphor, yeah. So it works immediately. And it's the as fast as, you know, you hear your favorite song, you start wanting to dance to it. That's the effect. Hmm. So we're passing a lot of the ancient technology in our brain.
Can you guys patent that?
We have it patented.
Okay, so so that formula is patented, so somebody else can't come and figure, wow.
It's incredible. The production of music. So we have I think we have 14 patents today. A lot of them are in production of music. A lot of them are on biosensors and things that we're working on in the future, which we can get into later. But
Here's a question I have. Memory and experiences plays definitely a role in how music affects us, in the sense that I can listen to a certain soundtrack of a movie.
Yep.
And because I have
immediately thinking Rocky.
Yeah, I'm talking about Rocky.
Immediately.
And it can get me motivated like nothing else because of the memory of the movie when I watched it as a kid, and I have this kind of like experience that it kind of brings up in me. The reason why I'm bringing this up is I noticed that when I listen to a Brain FM track and I find one that I like, and then I listen to it again, it works better and better and better. Yep. Whereas it might have taken me 5 to 7 minutes to induce the effect that I'm looking for, whether it's meditation or sleep or focus. And I literally have them on my phone saved. I can pull them up. There's certain ones that I might go to, and it's like 30 seconds.
Yep.
Is that effect, am I describing the effect that I'm experiencing? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, so what's really cool is you're actually describing a psychological effect called priming. Right. So some people, before they go on stage, they'll smell like cinnamon.
Sure.
Right. To get them pumped and to get them into that zone. And what happens is you're basically cueing your brain that you're about to work. That's you're about to do something.
OK.
So what's cool about when you use Brain FM, you can prime it two ways. One is the same track, right, playing. But then also, if you're always using focus, you're always having the same pattern. So now you're more sensitive to that pattern, that focus pattern that we put in all of our focus music. So you're much more likely to get into flow state and to get into that zone quicker and then stay there longer.
So in essence, you're training your brain both ways, both psychologically through experience and then maybe even neurologically. So you're developing new neural pathways that can respond a little faster.
Yeah, and then there's a physiological response because of listening to music and how your brain is responding to the environment that you're in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, are you able to, you know, ADHD or ADD is a big topic mm-hmm. these days. You know, it's quite common. You brought a statistic. I think you said 1 out of 4 people might have ADD or ADHD.
So not ADHD, but like attentional disorders. So okay. Either like ADHD or subclinical ADHD.
Got it. So it's quite common. It's very common in entrepreneurs. I don't know if you know this.
Oh, yeah.
But it's something like 80% of entrepreneurs, everybody in this room,
yep.
To some extent, I'm the winner there. By far, yeah. I would say. I probably have the worst case of it. Can you see an ADHD brain or can they identify it through the brain waves, or are they able to identify it without having to test you for your focus? And then how does brain FM affect an ADHD brain?
Yeah, good question. So I'd have to chat with our science team to figure out if you can see it from a brain scan. Mm-hmm. But I do know that we do a lot of studies with people that have ADHD, right? And the stat is basically 5% of people have clinical ADHD, where it actually affects their life negatively. So they have to go get prescription drugs to manage it. Then you have 15 to 20% of people that have like subclinical ADHD. Okay. And one of the telltale signs for that is you ever see someone bouncing their leg?
Yeah.
Right? Does anyone do that here?
Yeah. All the time.
So you're probably in the subclinical setting, right? It's not a bad thing, but what's happening is your brain is seeking stimulation, right? So what you're trying to do is you're trying to figure out how can I do the things that I need to get done, but give it stimulation. Mm-hmm. And the magic of Brain FM is that you're able to actually provide that. That Hertz tone that we're adding mm-hmm. to the music, the modulations, it's an on and off pulse that's kind of like both entertaining and distracting your brain. It's kind of like a fidget spinner in mm-hmm. the form of audio.
Yeah, the way I've heard it explained is you're an ADHD brain or distracted brain is looking for something to keep it present. So mm-hmm. this physical feeling, you know, is keeping me present. Are you guys working with schools or with parents who are looking
last
for
time you were here, I thought you said that you guys had been able to have a breakthrough in terms of being accepted as an alternative to Ritalin medications. Is that true?
So we definitely are used by people that are trying to like lower their medications or use us before they're going on medications. Mm-hmm. We were going to go down the FDA route and get approved and mm-hmm. try to look at that. But so as you can imagine, it's very expensive.
Lots of red tape.
Yeah. And we said, hey, you know what? We can definitely go down this route. You know, we have some really great scientists on our team and we've done a lot of studies, but it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of money. And it would be better to figure out how to grow this thing and make the product better and then go down that route later. But with that being said, we do have a ton of people. Like we said, 25% of the population right now has some kind of ADHD-like tendencies, but our users have like 60%, right? And then what's really cool is not only is it good for ADHD, but actually people with like autism or people with anxiety or all these other kinds of things that they are trying to normalize, they use us a ton. And it's really recommended by a few different organizations to support that.
So, focus, meditation, sleep, relaxation, deep sleep. Mm-hmm. Have you guys delved into looking at creating a antidepressive state or a happy state or anything like that? Or are we getting too close to things that we don't necessarily want to touch because regulations and all that?
No, I think we're open to anything. Mm-hmm. To be honest, and this is kind of, or better word is be blunt, right? The thing that the Brain FM needs and the thing that I need is to focus, right? Mm. And when I came on here last with you guys, I was trying everything. I was like, this is going to change the world. Let's do this. Let's do stuff in medical. So we were doing things with anesthesia. We were doing things in enterprise. We were doing things all over the place. And unfortunately, you can't do everything at the same time.
Yeah.
So what it's kind of ironic, right? We're doing a focus company, right? And at the same time, we need a focus. But we made the strategic decision to say, hey, you know what? Let's make a consumer product first. Let's help a lot of people, right? And then let's grow this thing so we can invest more resources. But along the way, we found some really cool things. So we did an anesthesia study with people getting colonoscopies and endoscopies. And we found that by playing relaxed music beforehand and wake up music, which is like a much more intense focus mix, we actually found we could wake people up and discharge them 15% faster.
What?
Right? And I was there experiencing that, like watching people get these surgeries, right, with their permission, of course. And they'd wake up and they're like, I've had this done once a year, every year, because I have, you know, something that has to be watched. And every year I wake up and I'm crying, or I'm like, have you guys ever got anesthesia?
It's a nasty experience.
It's crazy.
For a lot of people, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. And people would come up out of surgery and be like, completely fine. And they'd be like, what is this? This is crazy.
So what they do, just put headphones on them while they're asleep and then turn it on and let's see what happens?
Yeah, we would put on bone conducting headphones on them, right? And put it on when they're getting like the propofol, the anesthetic.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd fall asleep to it. And then when they're done surgery, they would switch it and turn on the wake up music.
Whoa.
And then what's happening is during anesthesia, your brain waves are basically separating. Like they're not your layers of your brain are not communicating, right? And when you're waking up, what's happening is you're kind of like loopy.
They have to reintegrate, right?
Yeah, they have to reintegrate. So what's happening is we're giving it a leading pattern to basically like
jump on it.
Yeah, to follow, you know, and we help organize the brain so it can be more coherent faster. So you're not drunk for like 30 minutes.
Wow.
So that was really cool. And we found a lot of, you know, opportunity there. And we're still in the process of that, but obviously, there's tons of red tape, and we want to make sure we do it the right way.
Yeah, if you've ever, I mean, for parents who've ever had a kid that's gone under, it sucks when they come out because they're just inconsolable for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the integration of the brainwaves, which I didn't know. I thought it was just, they're just disoriented, but I guess, of course, that would make you feel.
Well, that's interesting. It makes me think about coming out of like an inebriated sort of state, like in terms of anything, like, you know, if I'm drunk or if I'm, you know, under the influence of somehow to kind of bring me back in. I wonder if there's something there.
There might be. I've never personally tried that, but I'm sure some people have.
Obviously, yeah. I'm not like promoting. I'm just saying this.
Yeah.
Have you guys? Interesting. Have you guys done anything with like intimacy? Have you experimented with that or done any studies on that?
Because Adam has.
Well, I mean, so I don't know if you know this or not, but not long after we had seen you
track
last
number
time,
five.
I shared on the podcast one of my experiences with it. Well, it's become I've done it many times now, but one of the craziest, coolest things that I've done is put focus on with my wife before sex.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the intimacy level is like, and what I attribute that to, and maybe you can add to it or whatever, explain it better, is I think we live in a very distracted time with our phones and TV and stuff like that. And I think it just kind of drowns all that out. And then it becomes just her and I having great conversation. And then when you're in the moment, it's just, I don't know, it helps with that become even tighter and closer. Have you heard anything or know anybody?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you nailed it. That's exactly what's happening. We're so distracted. What's happening, it's making you present. And, you know, that our primary focus is for work, right? But there's a lot of these really unique experiences. And for a long time, one of the highest referrals for Brain FM was actually a tantric sex blog.
Right? See.
Because
wait, a blog that would send people to you because it said, listen to this.
And yeah, they were their number one resource for helping people connect, right? And there's a lot of, again, there's so many things. That's the hard part, you know, leading the company is there's so many things that, like this story, let's help you. Let's help all the people like you.
Yeah.
But for right now, we're like, okay, let's have this primary focus first.
Low-hanging fruit first.
Exactly, and then grow into it. That's a really cool story. This other really cool story we have, and this is more on the focus front, but there's this one woman that contacted us, and she's like, hey, I just want to thank you for the last 5 years. And her story was that she was a student trying to be a lawyer, and she couldn't focus. And we're worldwide, right? So she's in a country she couldn't get Adderall. It wasn't legal for her, right? And she said she found Brain FM and all of a sudden she could get her work done, right? And then she became a lawyer. And she was a lawyer for several years. And she's like, but then I wanted more. And she's like, I'm writing this to you as a judge in my country. And I owe it all to Brain FM and the thing that you're able to give me.
Wow, that's remarkable.
Yeah, it's really cool. Crazy. It's something that I never imagined.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, what's also really cool compared to like nootropics or all these other consumables that are like coming up, is that a lot of those you can become normalized to.
Yeah.
You know, like you drink coffee and all of a sudden you need two cups and stuff. But because this is a biolog, like your blood flow and how your brain works, you can't normalize to it. It's something that actually just strengthens in time rather than gets weaker.
That's my experience.
Yeah.
You know, when you use a stimulant or a supplement that helps induce focus, your brain downregulates receptors and changes its own catecholamine production to bring it back to where it was before. And like you said, you need more and more and more. This, the more I've used it, and I've used it now for years, it works faster and easier every single time. And so it's almost like I think it's strengthening
bike, yeah.
and creating neural pathways through that process.
We've been mostly talking about the focus, but I feel like the most profound one is the sleep. I mean, what's going on there? Because that's something that I use that more consistently than anything else, because we travel so much or we have speaking engagements where my adrenaline's going like crazy. Mm-hmm. One of the hardest things to do is to be – you know, away from home in a hotel after a long, crazy day of work to be able to like settle down and actually go to sleep. Nothing works better than that. I don't care what supplement. I've tried all kinds of great supplements that help or aid, but I think nothing helps more than the brain. What is going on there? Is it mostly helping with deep? Is it helping with REM? Is it helping with all the above? Like what's going on that's helping me sleep?
Yeah. So it's similar process where we're taking music that sounds, you know, is slower, is bringing your heart rate down, things like that. There's all these wonderful studies to show that you can take regular existing music and change someone's heartbeat, right? Mm. And you're not changing it wildly, right? Not 100%, but you can change 5 to 10%, which is a significant difference, right? So we're doing things that sound, you know, like peaceful, right? And then we're adding in our technology to it, right? And as an effect, you're getting these really long, slow wave delta waves that we're adding to it, right? And when we started, we did a lot of research in sleep. Our main thing is really driving focus right now. But we saw that we were able to increase slow wave sleep, which is where you get, you know, the deep recovery and have spindle activity in the brain. So the idea is you're actually getting a more restful sleep. And you're listening to this in two ways, either one, to help you fall asleep, or the entire time you're sleeping.
Yeah.
And we find that like some of our most dedicated fans, they're like using us for sleep every single day, or they're using us for focus every day. And it's really interesting that people gravitate towards one or the other.
Yeah. You know, I want to just, this conversation is making me want to go, Doug and I have been like really diving into our sleep and like with our Oura Ring and trying all these different things to keep improving the score. And I actually, what I haven't done is actually consistently done it for my sleep at home. I always use it when I know I'm like gonna need it. Like I have to have it because I can't.
I use it on the plane.
Yeah. Like that. I'm using it where I actually haven't tried to see like, oh, what happens if I actually use this every night at home and see if I can improve my sleep score. I'd like to see what that would do.
We've had listeners talk about using it on their pets.
Yeah.
So they'll play it in the room because their dogs are, what you know, Yippy or whatever. Anxious, and they're like, it works on the pets too, which is kind of weird. Not that your product's made for pets, but.
Yeah, we get a lot of really interesting use cases for that. You can also do some really cool stuff when you combo the activities together. So we're actually building this in our app because we've had so many people that listen to like focus and then relax and then focus again.
Oh.
Or they're listening to sleep and right when they start in the morning, they put on focus to wake them up, like a sleep and wake kind of thing. And it's very interesting because when you have maybe more depth of control over guiding your brain into certain states, now you can start playing with it. And personally, when I do focus and I'll do relax and then I'll do focus again, I can reach a level that is entirely higher than I can normally do. So we find a lot of people will listen to relax first for like 30 minutes while they're like brushing their teeth and they're doing their thing. And then they put sleep on.
Yeah.
And it's like a really nice...
Interesting.
Downstate and then regulation into that. Yeah.
That's interesting. Are you, these studies that you're talking about, these are, you guys put these together and fund them and say, okay, how are these working?
So we're not funding them all by ourselves because science is incredibly expensive.
Yeah. That's why I'm asking, because I know what the cost is. It's insane.
Yeah. So our study that we're doing right now that we've been working on for the last several years is actually funded by the National Science Foundation. So we got a very large grant from them. I think $250,000 from them to help fund. So that was a huge chunk.
What's that looking at? Can you say?
That's for ADHD.
Oh,
that's,
I see.
That's the specific ability to see, is this a, not a cure, but it's more of
viable treatment.
Correct, a viable treatment, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that's allowed us to do fMRI and do partnerships with Northeastern and really look at the brain on a level that you can't do commercially.
Yeah. Now, off air, you were mentioning something about dementia and Alzheimer's. Can you talk about those a little?
Yeah, of course. So we're not doing these studies, but it's the same technology that we're using, which is modulations or amplitude modulations. And what's crazy is at MIT, a doctor, Dr. Tsai, right? She's been doing a lot of studies on dementia and Alzheimer's, right? And what they're doing is, first, they would do this in actually rodents, where they would play a 40 hertz modulation. They put light and sound, and they were able to show that these rodents' brains that are built to have basically Alzheimer's, it reverses, right? And then they did this on humans. And to be fair, they did this with only 15 people, right? It was a starting of a study. But they saw that 15 out of 15 people that went through this and were listening to modulations like an hour a day were actually reversing Alzheimer's and dementia. Wow. And, crazy. And just today, something came out where they are, for cancer patients that are going through chemo, a lot of them experience brain fog and disorientation. Obviously, it's a very intense treatment. And they're doing similar things where they're playing modulations to them. And they're seeing that reduces brain fog.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, but are they testing the Alzheimer's and dementia and showing its reversal through symptoms or through looking at the brain itself and saying, okay, it's looking different?
Yeah. So they're doing the reason why they do rodents and things like that is so they can actually dissect the brains.
Right.
And they can see differences in plaque and all these kinds of things. Wow. It's really interesting because I believe the theory, and again, I'm not the scientist, but I believe the theory is you have these neurons in your brain, right? And then underneath your neurons, you have something called microglia. And what happens is that microglia kind of gets blocked, right? And that's where plaque buildup happens and things like that. And the microglia, they basically, they function on a 40 hertz modulation. They turn on and off, right? Like from a wider thing, all of our body is just on and off, our muscles, our brain, everything, right? And if you are playing a 40 hertz modulation, the microglia kind of start activating and start pulsing at the same time, and it will actually like clean off that plaque, right? That's probably not as technical as it needs to be, but the idea—
That's an interesting theory.
Yeah, the idea is that this basically is kind of like almost like— like a plunger for a toilet.
Well, it's like pumping a muscle or flexing a muscle. Things move in and out of muscle every time you flex and relax or contract and relax a muscle. Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
What does your typical user look like? You mentioned one stat. You said about 60% of your people would say they have ADHD-like symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other statistics in terms of what the typical user looks like?
Yeah. So we have, I guess, two types of users. One are people that are trying to deal or not deal, but like better manage maybe anxiety or trying to perform right at a level where they're like, OK, I'm anxious about, all the work I have to do, or I'm anxious for this. So I'm going to use this for planes. Right. Like in addition to your story, we get stories like that all the time. Right. So we have a lot of people that are trying to like look for almost like a pain medication to solve an ail that they have, right? And then you have other people that are looking for like pure performance. So they're like, all right, I'm already working 8 hours a day. How can I work, 15 hours in 8 hours? How can I stuff as much as I can? How can I lift 10% more, So we have these really two different archetypes of people. Some of them have ADHD. Some of them have anxiety. Some of them have sleep problems. But in the end, we're able to be, it's really unique because whether you have ADHD or some kind of neurodivergency, or you're more normalized, it works on everyone, yeah. right? To different levels, of course. In our paper that I was alluding to earlier, we found that people with ADHD that share that they do, this modulation is kind of like a dial. We can actually turn it up or turn it down. And if you turn it up on someone that doesn't have ADHD, it will give you a headache, right?
Too much.
It's too much. Mm-hmm. But for someone with ADHD that can handle more stimulation in their brain, you can dial it up even more and they can perform to a higher degree for longer. So actually in the product, we responded to that and we have like neural effect level. And that's what that is.
You can gauge it, right?
So you can pick your intensity of the effect, right?
Wow.
Any sports teams using this? Do you know that you know of, like, that are implementing it into like their training routine and stuff? Do you know?
I don't know about full sports teams. Yeah. I know some athletes have reached out to me and said, "Hey, I use this all the time for an individual basis." I have had more conversations with like billionaires than I ever thought I would, because people are like, I use meditation every single day to go on a walk. And it's the way that I can just focus and clear my head and do the things that I do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've had probably four or five people just reach out and they're like, I just want to have a conversation with you.
Is the technology being used, is it similar to, are you familiar with like Halo? Do you know the Halo technology? It's like the headset that you put on for training and it's supposed to help with like training patterns and to help solidify. Do you know if that's similar, the science that they're using in that compared to what you're doing? Do you know?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of the acronym. I think it's like TCPS or something. It's basically like it's
transcranial. Stimulating something.
Thank you. Yeah. little dyslexia on my side. It is different. So what's happening is that's kind of stimulating through electrical impulses in a different way, right? Okay. Where, you know, we're doing it, you know, through sound. There's so many different ways you can, you know, stimulate the brain. You can do it through magnets. Yeah. You can do it through transcranial stuff. You can do it through touch, through light, through sound. And the reason why we pick sound is because it's one of the senses that you can always basically, we already are listening to things. It's the easiest thing to add.
It feels
to
more
anything.
Organic to me.
Yeah, exactly. And the interesting thing, right, is that there's really no harm in it, right? If you put your music on too loud, it can hurt your eardrums. But when you talk about all the different other ways you can stimulate, it actually can get dangerous. And even just like light, there's, I don't know what the exact number is, but I think it's like one out of 16,000 or something have epilepsy, right? So if we were doing this through light, which we can do the same effect, that's dangerous, right?
Plus it's also, with sound, I can do other things.
Exactly.
So if I have to focus on something with my eyes, I can't write or read, whereas if I listen. By the way, last time you were on, we asked you if this worked through speakers and not just through headphones.
Just the same thing.
And you were like, no, put on headphones. And I got to disagree with you. Yeah. I put it on speakers and it works fine.
Yes.
Now I have an answer to that. Yeah, better. Because that's what I thought. That's what I was told.
Okay, because when you said that, I'm like, I wonder if he has to say that.
Yeah, right. Because FTC regulations.
Because all of us have tried it through speakers.
Yeah.
And it works just fine.
So I think last time we were here, I didn't have the 5 years of people telling me the same exact thing you did. And what happens is all of our studies are with headphones.
That's okay.
Yeah. So I can say, hey, 100%, like if you use headphones, you're going to have the optimal experience, but you can still use it over speakers. Yeah. And it actually just depends on if you're listening to focus, relax, or sleep. Because focus is really high, fast modulations. So you can bounce off things in the room and things like that. But relax and sleep are really slow. So a lot of people that use us for sleep, they just put us on their phone next to their bed.
Yes.
Or they put speakers That's on like I a do. Bluetooth. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they have wonderful effects. It really comes down to your environment. Like if you're in a noisy environment, the best thing you can do is put sound canceling headphones on, put some, you know, focus on and go. But it's really for everyone. Like however you want to use it to get the effect is how you should use it.
So you are getting a lot of people who are saying it works through speakers, not just us.
I mean, I did an experiment with my kids, and putting it on while we were all kind of doing our own thing and they were studying and doing their homework.
Yeah.
And it was like, nobody was talking, everybody was locked in, and it was humming. And I'm like, there's no way that this is just coincidental. You know? And then we did it again in the same effect. So, yeah, it was just broadcast over the Bluetooth.
Yep. And we're used, a lot of like teachers reach out to us and they're like, we use you in your our classroom to help people study and focus. And yeah, there's a lot of really cool things.
So
there.
With something that's this strangely effective, I'm always thinking to myself, like, how is this technology? How are people using? Do you know
wield it for evil?
Yeah, like
yeah.
Well, didn't Hitler do something with sounds in order to like? Didn't he?
I don't know.
Didn't you know
that he did everything?
He did something like with the cadence of his speeches and music that he would play. You guys never heard that? You guys are historians.
I don't know, but I do know that there are
certain
cadences and certain frequencies that we've identified as like. I know that the Catholic Church has identified certain frequencies.
They have certain weapons and things that they broadcast into crowds of people to.
Preachers are known to have like some of your best, well-known preachers are known to have a certain cadence. Yeah.
Well, my question is with this technology, because this is like another level. Do you know of any of how it's being used outside of this, or is it because it's patented they can't use this tech? Because I would imagine like an advertising company would be like, we want to make people feel a particular way when they see our commercial or a movie or something like that. Has that crossed your desk? Has anybody asked you guys?
I've had many interesting theories cross my desk. The technology itself is patented, right? So
they wouldn't be able to unless they went through this.
I mean, yes, but people could do it anyway, and then we have to, like, you know, police and stuff like that. But the interesting thing is this isn't an effect that is, like, brainwashing, right, or anything like that. So this is kind of like if you listen to an ad, it doesn't work immediately, right? It takes, you know, a few seconds, but it's also like, remember that dancing analogy where it makes you feel like you want to dance when you hear a song? Can you still stop yourself from dancing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So it's more.
It depends, because Footloose, this guy can't stop. So it's on.
I could see that. Yeah.
As soon as you put it on, it's over.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's something that it's more of this continual progress. It's an aid. I think of it more as when you're running and you have a wind on your back and it just makes it feel easier and you're having a great run. But it's not necessarily going to pick you up and carry you on your way.
We can't play it, make you a zombie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Subliminal messaging is actually something that started in like the 70s, this idea.
Yeah.
And subliminal messaging has been largely disproven because you have to be a willing aid to like want to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, like some hypnosis that exists, you have to want to be
I've actually looked into that. They have to select. They take a crowd and then the
see
person,
who's most susceptible.
Yeah, and then they'll pick that one person. Like this person is most likely for it to work on or whatever. Are you guys using AI technology to fine tune the sounds and how it works, either to the individual or just to just as a general product?
Yeah, so we're spending a lot of time. I mean, AI is really great. It still can't make music yet. All the music it makes, you can tell an AI made it. So our process right now is actually like humans that design all the music. They make it sound like we have an amazing music team, right? And what they do is they try to find diverse sets of music that they can build and create like a soundscape. And then we put that into an algorithm, and that basically helps us make a soundscape that is 30 plus minutes. And we actually have this really cool patent that we just got. And it actually can take any piece of music and loop it infinitely without it ever repeating. So we have 7 hours of Backstreet Boys, Bye Bye Bye. We don't have it on our platform.
It's called My Personal Hell.
I'll send it to you guys.
No, don't.
but like the idea is like our thing is like, how can we make humans focus on art? And how can we have AI and all these different kind of algorithms focus on all the science, making sure all the things are tuned correctly, and then making the experiences match what you're looking for.
Yeah, I had a question. So like in terms of like your data and user base and all that stuff, do you guys find that certain, I don't know, I guess different areas of the world are listening or prefer certain songs versus others? And like, you know, what does that look like?
Yeah, so we have probably the most population density in the major cities. You know, I told you what before. I told you that people are looking like what the person looks like as far as anxious or looking for performance. But how they look like, you know, as a regular person is we have a ton of entrepreneurs. right? We have a ton of people that are really trying to optimize their time and perform at their best daily because they need to,
yeah.
Right? So as you can imagine, you know, tons of the major cities have that. As far as, you know, who's using focus versus relax or sleep, it's very interesting because when you kind of go into suburbia, you're finding we find a lot more people are using relax. And that, those are people that are, you know, relax or sleep. Those are people that, you know,
those are people
it's more fast paced.
Those people and, have kids.
Yeah, yeah, most likely. Yeah, yeah, relax. Yeah. We had this one woman actually that reached out to us and she's like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And she's recording a video for us. And she's like, I haven't slept in like 15 years. And I've tried Lunesta, I've tried Ambien, I've tried all of the things. And I'm actually really upset that I just found out about you guys last week because I've been sleeping like a baby the entire time. She's like, thank you so much. And please, like, tell more people about you because yeah. I shouldn't have to find out after, you know? And yeah, I think a lot of people, like, you know, they have these struggles and they're like, how can I find something that's safe, something that's effective, and something that, like, you know, there's not really a downside.
Do you? So you guys have musicians that, because when you listen to this, if you haven't experienced this, it's music. Underneath that are the modulations that you're talking about that are inducing the effect, but it's music that's playing, and you can hear, you can kind of, you know, hear the modulations.
Hear yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's so you have musicians that make the music, and then do you have musicians that make the modulations, or is that computer derived based off of a formula? That
those are computer derived. Yeah. So to dive into that, we have all different types of genres because the genres aren't really the important thing. It's actually the science,
modulations.
The modulations. You got it.
Right.
So we have like nature music. You know, like all the things you'd hear. We have lo-fi, classical, like all that stuff. So what we look for when we hire musicians are people that just have obscene talent. Like most of these people toured the world with some of the greatest, right? And they're like, listen, I love being a musician, but I don't want to go on a plane anymore or tour bus. I just want to have a family, right? Mm-hmm. But I still want to make music that can help a lot of people, right? Or a lot of people enjoy. We have this one guy on our team, his name's Derek, right? And he's this guy, right? He's an amazing musician. And he and I were just doing a yearly review, and he made this year over 150 tracks for Brain FM.
Wow.
Right? And he's like, this is more in this year than my entire music career ever. Wow. Right? Because he's just like in the zone and creating these things. So he and the other people on the team are making these really amazing pieces that you would find like scored in a movie or something like that, mm-hmm. to like a really good quality. And then you're right, we're basically making all of the different kind of brainwaves and patterns that we're putting into it. It's derived from a model or derived from, you know, fMRI data or something like that. And that is baked into the song. So it's like aligned to the beats per minute. So it's disguised in there, and you can still hear it a little bit. You can kind of need to hear it still, so you got to find that balance. Mm-hmm. But then basically we're checking all the boxes where it sounds good, it's something you actually want to listen to, which is really tough. And then it also has these effects that we know from all of our papers and all of the science that we've done and other people have done that is going to drive that effect in the brain.
So are the modulations then this, like if I'm listening to sleep and I one day I listen to the rain and then the next day I listen to the ocean and the next day I do the forest one, are the modulations the same on all those and it's just what's layered with it that's different, or do they change also?
They change too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they have to fit inside of the sound, right? Because sound is the carrier wave for the modulation. You, like for example, let's pretend that you have a sleep song, and it's probably like, I don't know, like 100 beats per minute or something like that, right? Maybe less. And what's happening is if you have the modulation for 100 beats per minute versus 90 beats per minute, it has to stretch and it has to transform into that thing. Otherwise, it sounds distorted. It sounds computery. So that's one of the reasons why we don't take like a popular song and just put modulations in it.
Sure.
We have to make our own music because otherwise it would sound
choppy.
Yeah, like you know when the helicopter effect in the car?
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of annoying. That's kind of the effect that we're hiding and we're like that's what's driving it. It's a little bit more rhythmic and pulsing, but if we do it wrong, it'll sound like that.
It has to be palatable.
Distorted. Yeah, it has to be palatable. You know, it's something that like healthy food is healthy for you. but you have to, you can't force yourself to eat healthy. You have to find that balance,
you know,
and that's what we're really trying to do.
Yeah. Interesting. So where are you guys based out of, by the way?
So we're remote, actually.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Pandemic changed
the
all
whole
of
team.
That. Yeah, whole team. Wow. Yeah.
How big is the staff?
We have 15 full-time and a bunch of contractors, and that's made of developers, designers, musicians, neuroscientists, and marketing.
Before we started, we were talking off air, and you said something I think is really interesting. In fact, I think it would be a fun single topic episode for us. And that was that your morning routine is making you less productive.
Yeah.
And I think that's a real controversial statement with, you know, all the books that are out there.
I would imagine you get really into the science of productivity because of the product that you make. So what did you learn about these morning routines?
Yeah. So, you know, the whole study of flow is a really, it's like a new evolving study that a lot of interest there, right? And flow is this finding the zone, right? And there's this idea of flow proneness, right? Which is the susceptibility you have to switch into flow state, right? And if you look at your brain when you're sleeping and you look at your brain when you're in flow, it's actually pretty similar. So this idea that your morning routine, you're doing red light therapy and you're, you know, having smoothies and you're going on a walk and all that stuff, it's actually taking you further away from being able to drop into flow state instead of waking up and sitting right down and immediately
start working. Crazy how obvious that is to me that I never thought about that. Have you ever seen too, like the studies like on your like super athletes, like a Steph Curry, when he's at the line for a free throw, it's the game is on the line. He's got two free throws. He's got to hit both to make it. Or the downhill skier who hits the jump and has to do six flips or something crazy.
Yeah.
They measure their heart rate, and their heart rate is like they're sleeping.
It actually goes down.
That's like the biggest difference between us and then those super athletes is they have this ability in those moments to be so calm and so focused and in flow state like that. And yet here we are doing all these things like cold plunges and we have all these things that jack us up in the morning thinking that's the better way to get us focused for a day of work. Yet it's probably going the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, I think the secret is actually finding the balance between them, right? So personally, I do that. I wake up and I grab a coffee, a protein shake, and I sit down and I immediately start working, right? And the way I can do that is before the night before, basically, plan out my day so I can go right into it. But personally, if I do that every single day and I just work for 8 hours and you don't have any recovery or relaxation time, you're going to burn out.
Sure.
So I think the secret is actually starting immediately trying to get into the zone, immediately trying to work, and then working for like 90 minutes and then doing the cold plunges and using those as recovery modalities to be able to then go back into it afterwards. Because if you don't have, you guys know this, like if you don't have recovery, you don't have anything, you know?
That's an interesting way to look at it. I know for me, that's definitely true. I can get into a very quick flow state, but then after that, I'll go work out. And then I'll come back and then I feel amazing.
Yeah.
Versus just, you know, I know for one thing, social media upon waking is a terrible idea.
Yes.
That for sure I've identified as not a good way to get the day started.
There's also really interesting studies. I'm not sure if these are academic studies or just things, so I won't quote anything. But there's this idea that when you are adding anxiety to your system, what happens is your brain is starting to like prepare for it. So if you wake up and you start scrolling social media and you're spiking your cortisol, what happens is it's starting to train your brain on waking up earlier and earlier and earlier so that you can actually be prepared.
Ready for that anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of people that are doing that are actually, you know, if you find yourself waking up earlier and you have that pattern, it's probably from the social media.
What you do in the morning definitely affects what happens later in the day. I mean, the data on consuming protein upon waking and how your blood sugar is affected later with the same foods, everything's controlled, is much better. Sunlight in the morning affects your sleep 100%. In a positive way. So this makes perfect sense. So do you think upon waking, playing, relax and then focus, or focus and then relax?
I think right into focus. Yeah. So personally, I'll wake up. I try to, it sounds crazy, but I try to sit down at my desk in literally 2 minutes. So I try to get out of bed. I go in, I grab water, I grab protein, I put headphones on, I put BrainFM on, and I'm just trying to get into it.
Wow.
And, you know, I think it's interesting because when you look at people that are really successful and they're doing this, they're not, you know, Elon Musk, you know, love him or hate him, he's not screaming about his morning routine every day, you know, he's getting stuff done, you know? Yeah. And I think, it's just interesting. So I encourage everyone to experiment, try it yourself. Mm. If it works, adopt it. And if it doesn't, that's okay.
Any future studies you're looking forward to potentially conducting?
So there's a lot of really interesting things that we're doing with wearables. You can see I have two of them on right now. Yeah. And we're still, I think, you know, when we first started here, we're telling you that workout music was coming, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's still coming, but it's tough, right? Yeah. There's a lot of things I have to do. There's so many different people that have different kinds of workouts and different kinds of bodies and things like that.
Of course.
And we found that the only way to really effectively do it is actually hook up wearables. So
you can see in real time what's going
on. Yeah. So what we're actually trying to do is build better neurofeedback through music. So we'd actually change the, like right now, the basis for music is all, you know, pitted in all this research for, you know, people across, you know, what all these brains look like in focus, relax, or sleep. But the next level of BrainFM is that we are able to look inside of you and see your HRV and your GSR.
How sick that would be.
And be able to, yeah, to
imagine
change
getting
it in
alerted
real time.
From your Oura Ring that's just like, hey, you should probably meditate for 15
or just
minutes.
Adjust or in real time.
The music just changes.
Yeah. We would change it in real time. Yeah.
That would be sick.
Yeah. So we've been playing with a lot of that. There's some really cool stuff that we've been able to do that is probably too early to say, but it's something we're still working on. And I'm really excited to see that turn in because, like, the vision is being, like, imagine someone that, you know, they want to perform at work, right? They have kids at home and they're like, okay, I want to get this done. And they're trying to sit there, trying to work. And all of a sudden they click BrainFM and they get in the zone. They have a great day between, you know, on time and relaxing. And they're heading home in the car. They put on relax.
Yeah.
And we are knowing this person needs to be downregulated, and we're looking at your HRV and your GSR, and those are all really good indicators of, you know, your mental state. They can all be determined from that. And then imagine that you arrive home and your kids come out, and you're like fully present, and you're recharged, and you're there, or you're with your wife, and you want to be intimate, and you know. It's so hard to shake off all the things that happen in your day, and you can actually just be fully present and fully aware and enjoy all the different parts of life that, you know, we're here for. You know what I mean? That's totally. The vision that we're trying to do.
So you said over 4 million people have used BrainFM. Yeah. How many are currently active? Are you able to say that?
So we keep these numbers kind of as far as current subscribers and things like that, but we have more than 300,000 people that are using us per month, and it's all over the world.
How do most people find you guys? Is it through marketing or word of mouth?
Right now it's word of mouth. Wow. And we're transitioning into marketing. And that's why we're back here. We started here with you guys.
Yeah.
And now that we're jumping into marketing, the first people we wanted to sponsor was this show because of where it all started.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, like I said, if I didn't try it, I wouldn't believe it. It's really weird, but you guys have an option where people can try it out.
Yeah,
so they can see themselves. It is it's not powerful. Effective. Yeah. It's strangely effective. And I say strangely because you're in disbelief. Mm-hmm. When you use it the first few times, like, really? Is it really that? Yeah. Oh my gosh, what's going on? So we definitely advocate for it. And like I said, we've talked about you guys so many times, even without being sponsored. So appreciate it.
Yeah, love it. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Awesome. Great.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price.
The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.